Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about God of War. Yes, a new game in the series is going to come out pretty soon. And we will be speaking about everything from the gameplay to why this game is such a big deal, various editions that are available in India, and a bunch of other things. So to do that, we have our games editor, Rishi Albani.
I thought we were going to be talking about the better action game, Bayonetta 3, but okay, we'll talk about God of War instead.
Alright, friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani is also here.
As long as we're not talking about Devil May Cry HD Collection, it's all good.
Devil May Cry HD Collection does not exist in this world. It exists in a separate parallel pocket dimension filled with just with the Resident Evil 2 remake and Capcom employees. Hmm. But yeah, enough deviation onto God of War.
Yeah, I'm your host Pranay Parab.
Are you?
Or do you exist in the same sphere as Devil May Cry 8?
Well, not that bad yet.
Debatable.
Okay then, cool. So God of War, first of all, tell me why this is a big deal.
Okay, so in case you've been living under a rock, God of War has been Sony's biggest franchise. It started its life on the PS2 with the first game, God of War, and was renowned for its surprisingly good combat, great presentation, and abundant amounts of blood and gore. And that was followed up in short succession with God of War 2, which people were surprised was able to launch on the PS2 simply because it seemed to be a technically impossible feat at the time, building on what the first game did in ways more than one, and expanded on the story with the same protagonist of Kratos. Now, the story basically is your Kratos, a legendary warrior who then kills his wife, kills his son because he was tricked into doing so by Ares, the god of war, and then proceeds to lay siege and kill every member of the Greek pantheon. That is essentially God of War in a nutshell. And you had God of War 1, you had God of War 2. Those two games were on the PS2, later on the Vita as well. And they were remastered for the PS3. They're also on PlayStation now, if you even care about that sort of thing. In addition to that, there was God of War Ghost of Sparta, and there was God of War Chains of Olympus. God of War Ghost of Sparta was also on the PSP. Chains of Olympus was also on the PSP. Both of them are playable on the Vita as well. And then there's God of War 3, which was on the PS3. And then there was God of War Ascension, which is also on the PS3. Now, God of War 3 obviously was the natural successor to the second game, and has Kratos basically killing off the last of the Greek pantheon. Ascension was basically a prologue kind of game, similar to Ghost of Sparta and Chains of Olympus. And Ascension was pretty much, I think, the poorest received of every God of War game. Particularly because, one, it had the B team at Sony Santa Monica working on it. And secondly, it added multiplayer. Personally, I liked the multiplayer, but not a lot of people did. It was just pretty okay as a whole. So, yeah, God of War on PS4 is a big deal because it's the first God of War entry on the PS4. And it had its public debut at E3 in 2016. Where it was shown off surprisingly out of nowhere, showing a new look of Kratos and some interesting elements. Well, one thing that did stand out was that instead of having the Greek mythology, it now takes place in Norse mythology, and Kratos has a son called Atreus, which is weird. But yeah,
it is. And you know what? Like, it's actually quite hard to believe that this is the first God of War entry for the PS4, considering that, you know, we've seen a couple of remasters, I think. And
we did see God of War 3 remastered for the PS4, which was released a few years ago, and it's been bundled to hell over here. You can get it for as low as 900 rupees in some places. And this is the first new entry for the franchise on the PS4 with full PS4 Pro support. We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's such a problem that it's just the first entry, because if you look at Sony's first-party output, there have been a ton of games for the PS4. We've had Uncharted Lost Legacy, Uncharted 4, Horizon Zero Dawn, Gran Turismo Sport, Gravity Rush 2, Gravity Rush Remastered, Infamous Second Son, Last of Us Remastered. We've seen a ton of games from Sony. Their first-party output's been really good. So
isn't Gran Turismo also their own game?
Yeah.
It is, yeah, right? Yeah, 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 so GT Sport. There you go.
So, point is, there's been a... there's been like a, it's not like we've been lacking in terms of Sony first party output. It's just that God of War is so popular, particularly in countries like India, where God of War does as well, if not better, than Uncharted. It's something we even saw last generation with the PS3. And during the PS2 era, it basically was the linchpin. It was the reason people bought a PS2 in India. And I remember back in the day, there were so many complaints over the PS2 release of God of War 2 in particular, because back in the day, games were made, were replicated in India for the PS2. And there was a situation where God of War 2 disc had a bug, a glitch, if you may, where if you save the game in a certain section, you couldn't progress. So a lot of people ended up returning their copies to get new ones. It was hilarious. But thankfully, we don't have local replication for this game, so you don't have to worry about situations like that. And this time around, it's going to be the first time since the PS3 era that we're seeing Sony bring collector's editions for a game, for their own first-party games.
Yeah. So, Mike, do you want to speak about the limited edition and the collector's editions for this game?
Yeah. So, the standard edition, which is now dubbed the Day One edition, has some DLC, and that's $3.99. The interesting and the edition which most people I know are getting is the limited edition, which is the game in a steelbook case with a small art book and some other DLC with the theme, I believe. The collector's edition, there are two collector's editions. One of them is North America exclusive, which is called the Stonemasons edition, which is $150, and it actually has a few more contents which are not there in the collector's edition coming to India. The collector's edition for India is a little under 10,000. I believe it's 9,499 rupees. It's almost sold out. In fact, both the limited and the collector's editions are sold out almost everywhere. And the collector's edition has a 9-inch statue of Kratos and Atreus, a steel book, which is the same as the other editions, a cloth map, a lithograph, and some DLC, which is probably going to have a theme and stuff like that. And it even has a digital art book. The Stonemason edition has some statues and some rings and basically some knickknacks here and there, which are not there in the other editions. And the packaging will be slightly different, but otherwise, the game is the same in both. You're just missing out on a few things, but then $150 is a lot more than $9,490 if you take into account customs and stuff like that. And yeah, this is interesting because with Uncharted 4, everyone thought Sony would bring in the collectors and limited editions. The limited edition actually did make its way here later, and it was pretty high priced. It was around $9,000 around release when it should have been much lower. And if you know where to look, you can still find cheap copies of that. So, but it looks like at least for God of War, they are being very cautious about this. Retailers haven't been allowed to take as many pre-orders as they wanted to. It's been, sort from what we've been given to believe, it's been like a drip feed happening from Sony and retailers. So if you do want it, you might want to try and put lock in a pre-order right now, because while you may be able to get it from abroad later on, getting it in India might be difficult new.
The reason for the drip-fed nature of God of War collector's pre-orders has to do with the fact that Sony themselves are completely unaware of how many units they have to bring in of God of War to begin with. So while they do know they have to bring a certain number of standard edition, they're unaware of how many quantity they're getting of limited or collectors, which is why the sooner you order, the better. It's one of the rare instances where we'd suggest pre-ordering, because it's a situation where Sony India is unaware, or chooses to be unaware, of the demand for the collectors and special edition and limited editions of God of War. That being said, there's even a PS4 Pro limited edition console for God of War as well. At the time of recording this podcast, we've been given to understand that Sony will be bringing that to India. Pricing is unknown at this stage, at least again at the time of recording this podcast, it's been unknown at this stage. And safe to say, it will be more expensive than a standalone regular PS4 Pro that costs close to $42,000. Expect this to be around $45,000. Where it includes a custom colored God of War for PS4 Pro and a copy of the game on disc.
Okay. So, I mean, beyond the editions, etc., like, would you recommend ordering, like, pre-ordering from Flipkart and other sites online?
I mean, so here's the interesting thing, and this is what really disturbs me about the way pre-orders have been handled for this game. We were aware that both the limited limited and collector's editions of God of War were coming to India. However, it only went up for pre-order at certain retailers 3 weeks after we were aware. It's like we knew about the pricing, we knew about what was coming in but then 3 weeks later, and that too, it happened in the shadiest way possible, where you had a couple of offline stores taking pre-orders via WhatsApp. So that's when we actually pushed out our story, telling people to check out with their local retailers and pre-order. And a week later, only then did Sony let online retail take pre-orders. And by online, essentially, Games the Shop was the only one who had pre-orders listed. And then a week after that, we actually saw Flipkart and Amazon take pre-orders. So we don't know how many units are actually going to go to any of these retailers. And I don't think they even know how much they're getting from Sony. So, I mean, if you think about it, you had, it took close to a month, or rather 2 months, if you count like 6 weeks, it's taken Sony close to 2 months to get this product listed and to get people to pre-order it, which is quite frankly inefficient and just shows their lack of understanding of the market. That being said, to answer your question where you should order it from, I'd recommend ordering it ideally from Games the Shop, because they're the first to list. They'll always get priority because they're first to list over Amazon or Flipkart. This is like the one time I'd say go with them over Amazon or Flipkart, simply because they've been listing regularly, and in fact, even at the time of recording this, they still have some limited edition left in stock.
So yeah, like Amazon, there's a chance, because you pre-order and you don't pay in advance because cash on delivery is an option, they might cancel your order because they didn't receive any in time. Yeah. Games the Shop will usually only take orders for the stuff they can deliver. So like in the past, we've ordered Civilization. At least both of us ordered the Civilization 6 Collector's Edition, which is long sold out now and pretty expensive abroad. And like we got it like within 12 hours of ordering, like on release day. So that was really good. Yeah, I'd recommend getting it from there if you want to. And yeah, limited edition is pretty good value.
Yeah.
Okay then. So now I think we can talk about the game itself. So I believe we have some idea about the visuals and frame rate and the performance mode, which has been promised to PS4 Pro owners who have a 1080p display and not a 4K display.
Yeah, so in terms of visuals, it looks rather stunning. There's no, right now, I mean, obviously we have no idea if this is using the Decima engine that was used in Horizon Zero Dawn. We don't think so. Even though it looks similar, we don't think so.
It just looks like the production values are at that level, which is very high praise given Horizon Zero Dawn still is like pretty just mind-blowing how it looks.
So, and in terms of art direction, because you're looking at Norse mythology, you have a lot of snowy forests, you have a lot of trolls, you know, the non-internet variety, and you have, mythical fantastic beasts, and you have an axe, which is basically the Uber of axes. So it looks pretty stunning. From all respects. In terms of frame rate, Sony is not saying if it's 60 or 30. Even with the performance mode on, they're not saying if it's 60 or 30. But what we do know is, if you have a PS4 Pro and if you don't have a 4K TV, there is a specific mode in the game that'll let you run the game really smooth. Again, Sony's not saying if it's 60, if it's 30, or if it's an uncapped frame rate. They're not saying any of that. All they're saying is that it's really smooth. And this is news actually from the game's director, Corey Barlog, so he knows what he's talking about. What's even interesting to note is there is no saying if this mode is restricted just to those with a non-4K TV and a PS4 Pro, or if it will be opened up to those with a PS4 Pro and 4K TVs as well. So this is still unknown at this stage. That being said, the game plays really well even on a base PS4. Its initial reveal was on a base PS4, and it's been playable on a base PS4 since December 2016. In fact, they've been running playtests since December 2016 on the game on a base PS4. So if you already have a base PS4, we wouldn't recommend buying a PS4 Pro just for this. We'd say wait it out, see what it actually ends up being, and then take a call if you want that visual upgrade. But I think anyone with the base PS4 should be taken care of just fine.
Yeah, Horizon looked and ran great on the base PS4, so I'm pretty sure people don't really need to worry about that here.
I mean, to me, what people should worry about is the gameplay, because it's radically different from anything we've seen in the God of War series. They've taken it in a different direction altogether.
So what I noticed was that this axe is like, it reminds me of Indian action movies. Basically, you throw the axe and it can just stop wherever it wants to, and you can then punch the bad guys or the monsters like 50 times, and then the axe will come back when you call it back.
So is Kratos' axe like Fortnite's guided missile?
Yeah. you mean the guided missile for Fortnite borrowed from Metal Gear 1?
Yes.
Metal Gear Solid 1.
From that one boss fight.
And even that one puzzle, bro.
No, that one boss fight.
Puzzle also.
Could do that without it.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me more, senpai.
Soon. So, yeah.
Anyway, jokes aside, Kratos has an axe instead of the chains of whatever that he used to use in the past game, or the blades of whatever in past games. Well, what's more interesting is the camera angle. It's third person, much like the last few games, but it's a lot more closed in. It's a lot more immediate. This results in action feeling a lot more visceral, a lot more punchy, and a lot more meaty and a lot more visceral. So what essentially ends up happening, it seems to be, and along with it, because you have such a close-in camera angle, you don't fight as many enemies at once. In the past games, you could take on a ton of enemies at the same time. This doesn't seem to be the case here. The focus is to make everything seem a lot more immediate. And from what we know, yeah, it seems to work out quite well. In terms of controls, you're using the shoulder buttons instead of face buttons, which is to me a huge change. Even though you can use face buttons by going to the menu options and choosing the ability to use square, triangle, circle to punch and beat the crap out of your enemies instead of using L1, R1, which is what the game defaults to, which is another interesting change. Plus, this time around, you also have a non-playable character who's an ally. Or as Mike likes to call it, the Palico of the God of War series.
Yeah,
Palicos are cats from Monster Hunter. And according to Mike, Atreus, who's Kratos' son, is basically a Palico. And I kind of agree. So you can order him to shoot down enemies from a fixed radius or a fixed spot. Or you can have him, you know, come in close and help you beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, so he's anyway the literate in these two, right? I mean, Kratos can't read that Norse language, so...
Yeah, so it's up to Atreus to actually explain what's going on. And what's interesting here is that, from what we can tell you, is that the story is in such a situation where Kratos seems to have a new family, seems to have a kid, and at least had a wife. And they're on this journey to, you know, get stuff sorted. And what is also interesting is that a lot of characters in the game world acknowledge or bring to light that Kratos is a god from another realm. So that also seems to play out rather interesting in terms of gameplay and story.
Mm.
Because he's definitely an outsider in a strange land.
Yeah. That is true. So
this is literally like the Iron Maiden song "Stranger in a Strange Land, Land of Ice and Snow," because of what the gameplay is.
So yeah, I think that comes from a book by Robert Heinlein, which is also titled "Stranger in a Strange Land." So
yeah, Corey Barlog, we know where you lifted your inspiration from. So.
Yeah, clearly. So you know what? Like, I was looking at some of the gameplay footage. I haven't like played the game yet. Sorry, disclaimer right there. So I noticed that Kratos is a right-handed person in this. I was wondering if you could change it and make him like left-handed. Like you can do that in The Last of Us, where like if you want, you can like when you're shooting the gun, etc., you can sort of change the camera angle so that it looks like you're lefty. So yeah, I believe some people would want to do that as well. And like, I hope that they allow you to, you know, change that around. But I don't think it's going to be an option really.
I don't know. See, it differs from game to game, right? Like with Last of Us, it made sense because a lot of the combat took place with guns. Yeah. And here, there doesn't seem to be guns. I mean, you have magic. And you have axes. And I mean, there is no projectile-based reasoning where you'd want to switch your aiming to the left shoulder, as you could in Last of Us. I don't know if that's a thing. I honestly, for them to even do that, I would assume may also require them to re-mirror how the enemies function and work.
And how the axe plays that.
Exactly.
Like, given what we've seen and how the axe just flies back to you, and the camera angle is in such a way, focusing on that, they might have to rework quite a bit.
So I don't think that's happening, right? Yeah, so the boomerang axe is definitely one of the most like fun aspects of the game. But it does retain some of the other things that we've seen in previous God of War games, which is opening chests and collecting some, I don't know, metal or resources, etc. And yeah, like apparently now you don't have to mash that button again and again to open a chest, etc. Like you basically just press it once and you open it. Beyond that, I believe now the India delay is also something that we've spoken about. But like, are we sure that the game will get delayed in India, or like, you know, is there some hope yet?
So the reason why we've brought this up is because I've had several readers message me separately asking if they should even bother pre-ordering. And I'll tell you why. Horizon Zero Dawn showed up late. Uncharted 4 never showed up in adequate quantities on day one. And in fact, there was a trade break by Flipkart, which didn't make things any better. And with Shadow of the Colossus, there was a situation where it was delayed by almost 2 weeks, to the point where irate gamers here ended up tagging Shohei Yoshida, who is the head of Sony Worldwide Studios, in tweets saying, "Where's Shadow of the Colossus for India?" So Sony hasn't had the best track record of getting their games in time. That being said, we would highly recommend exercising caution. I mean, yeah, earlier in the episode, you said you should pre-order the limited and collector's edition SKUs. And yes, we still stand by that, because those are the ones that can sell out, and those are the ones that Sony themselves, at least at the time of recording this podcast, Sony themselves have no idea how much they're bringing in. So scarcity will play into that. So you don't mind waiting a little as long as you get an order of that. But if you're in it just for standard, we would highly recommend that you look, it's God of War, all right? It's Sony's biggest franchise in India. If anything, the standard edition should show up on time. So if you're looking at it just for the standard edition, don't even bother pre-ordering. Don't bother at all. Pick it up at a store on day one. Order it from Amazon on day one.
There might even be a midnight launch for it, given past Sony games. And God of War is like probably going to be one of the biggest games this year, aside from Red Dead Redemption 2. So, yeah. And if a game like Far Cry, if I got a midnight launch, pretty much safe to assume that God of War will.
Exactly. So the way I see it, God of War should make it, at least the standard edition should make it on time. And that being said, there's no harm waiting until you actually see it on the storefront before putting down your money. So yeah, I'd recommend that. The way I see it, where this is concerned, Sony can't afford to mess up. But then, hey, stranger things have happened. So if you're in it just for the standard editions, we'd say hold off. Wait till you know that there's a midnight launch. Because see, if there is a midnight launch, you know for a fact that copies are going to come up on time. So, and usually the stores that are going to do a midnight launch are probably going to be Games Shop and Landmark. I don't know if there are any other retailers who are going to do it. These two should do it. That being said, if there is a midnight launch and if that is confirmed, it's safe to say copies will show up on time. Place, if you have to pre-order after confirmation of a midnight launch. Otherwise, wait for the release day, which is April 20. Walk into your local store and pick up a copy.
Okay. So I think now we're ready to talk about the games we've been playing this week. So Mike, what uncharted, unknown game have you been playing?
I've been playing Picross S again on Switch.
What the hell is that?
Picross is picture crossword, as the name, like, okay. that's what it means. it's sort of like Sudoku, but a little more complex, and you end up making shapes or pictures of things. And there are a ton of these games on 3DS from this company called Jupiter that works with Nintendo quite a bit. So I've been playing the Switch version, been also playing Splatoon 2. I downloaded that garbage mobile app of theirs and I started using that again. So
for voice chat?
No, not for voice chat, for buying items which you can't get in the game so you can buy them and use it's just complicated and not worth the time. Other than that, been playing some Doom on Switch, not on PS4 Pro or Xbox with the new 4K patch. Yeah, I've been playing it on Switch. And just other than that, Fortnite, playing quite a bit of that now on iOS. And PUBG, actually, it's funny, I end up playing more Fortnite on phone and PUBG on the iPad. I thought it would be the other way around, given Fortnite actually looks good. But yeah, so I've been playing that, basically.
I'm just really surprised that you've started playing free-to-play games. This is like a big change from...
This is the future. Free-to-play is the future in the post-PC world.
Okay, then. So I finally finished... I can never say finished, but I finally stopped playing Yakuza 0. Like, it had become a serious problem for me. Every time I try to, like, play some other game, I'd just end up coming back to Yakuza 0. But then, ultimately, I finished the Cabaret Club Czar minigame in there. And, like, I got the Mad Dog of Shimano fighting style for Goro Majima. So now, if you're playing Yakuza 0, I highly recommend that you just drop the main story and you go to this minigame, you finish it, get that fighting style. And once you do that, I think Yakuza 0 will never be the same. You will never be able to go back to the standard fighting style, because you get a crazy demon fire dagger with, like, infinite durability, and you can, like, do some killer heat moves, which essentially involves like stabbing a, like, first of all, like stabbing two or three enemies, and then like kicking the Majima kicks the knife, the dagger, and it goes straight into another enemy's heart, and then he goes there close to the enemy and says, "You're pathetic," and he pulls it out, and obviously like everyone dies. So this tactic may not work against Mr. Shakedown, but yeah, like against everyone else, it's a pretty solid tactic to take on. Only thing is, have your heat meter up when you're taking on Mr. Shakedown, then I think you should be able to like engage this heat action. I haven't personally tried that, but yeah. On that note, yeah, I've also defeated Mr. Shakedown like 10 times as Majima and 8 times as Kiryu. And yeah, total my completion stat is at 72%, and I played like 98 hours of this game. Finally called it quits. I am not going back to this game now. I'll start playing others. Like, I have a huge backlog of PS4 games now, which one by one I'll start finishing. So yeah, hopefully by the time maybe 2 or 3 episodes in, you'll be hearing from me and I'll be speaking about some other game. So yeah, Rishi?
Well, okay. I've been playing, well, Fortnite on iOS. More than on any other platform. It just seems to work okay. The cross progression seems to be fine. Been playing quite a bit of Chrono Trigger, revisiting that on the 3DS. Because, you know, in this era of uncertainty and free-to-play shovelware, we must cling on to what we hold dear, such as cool Japanese role-playing games with epic stories.
Come on, it's on iOS as well.
That version doesn't exist. It probably exists in the same universe as Devil May Cry HD. We don't talk about those things.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically we've been playing that. Mainly, yeah, Chrono Trigger and Fortnite. And basically, yeah, those two. That aside, I mean, there's been a lot of computer hardware lying around the office that needs to be checked out. So yeah, I've been running a few games through on that, particularly Far Cry 5. Which seems to run very well on most pieces of hardware. And we have a detailed piece on how it performs on PC that's up on the site you can check out.
Okay, cool then. That's all for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.